You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The power sweep actually is the lead play on our offense.
Yes, our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here.
Run this place in the alley. What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Joined alongside my partner in crime here, Mr. Tim, live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. How you doing, Tim?
Man, happy to be here, man. Ready to talk a little Packers.
Always happy.
Part of the day, man.
Even when you're not happy to be here, Tim's happy to be here. That's just the way it goes, man. I love it. I know we got Emilio going to be joining us here in a minute. I think he pulled up a YouTube video and played it in the background with some machinery. You know, noises, Tim. I don't think he's actually out there doing anything. I think he's faking that. So, see if he actually makes it in here or not. Hopefully, his shirt's on or not. I will say that. You never know what that knucklehead's going to do jumping on the show. But, yeah, I know the chat is lit up already. We got Omer in the house, got a lot on his mind. We got M. Smitty. We got Chewy. We got Boz. Let's see who else in here, man. Omer lighting it up, of course. My man got a new profile pic. You ready to show that off? I love it, dude. Chris in the house. Let's see. Oh, man. Larry Cano, Prince, SDM40, the usual suspects in here for sure. Too old for this. Mark Zambito, good to see all y'all for sure. David, what's up, David? David, good to see you, buddy. Chris in the house, too. Want to give a quick shout-out before we get started here to our newest Patreon members. Really appreciate y'all supporting the show. We got Andre Hamilton. We got Dane Stromstad. Actually, a $10 pledge there. Really cool. Thank you, Dane. We appreciate you. I know you were a MVP subscriber or whatever on YouTube before. Really appreciate the support of the show. We got Mark Zambito, Do You Rant. We got Drew Domalik, and we got Jabin Tebow. So we'll make sure that all of you guys, anyone who is a member of the PTA Posse there on Patreon, our Patreon group, we're going to do some special stuff moving forward. We're going to brainstorm it and put some ideas together, maybe some watch party type stuff as well. But the main thing is the giveaways, right? And I just want to announce that on draft night, round one, so Thursday, what is it, Tim, the 25th, am I thinking right, is when that is?
Oh, man, I don't have it in front of me. Something like that. Sounds right. We'll go with that.
We're going to be giving away an autographed Paul Hornung jersey, just like the one right over here over my shoulder. Really cool piece of memorabilia. Awesome. Yeah, Tim's got one, too.
Awesome.
This one I've got that I'm going to be giving away is just like that one. You can see the accolades at the bottom. So they got like his nickname, all of his accolades sewn onto the jersey too. It's a really cool piece of memorabilia. Obviously the Golden Boy halfback for Vince Lombardi and all those championships they won back in the 60s. So we'll be giving that away on Draft Night. And what we'll be doing is drawing from the Patreon members. So appreciate everybody supporting the show. Don't feel obligated to do that, but we just want to give back to those who are supporting the channel. Obviously, you can find that link in the description of this video or just go to patreon.com and search Packer Fan Total Access. Again, if you click on the video description, you'll actually see a link at the very top there. So, yeah, like I said, man, can't thank y'all enough. You guys and gals are absolutely awesome. So, like I said, we're going to have Emilio join us here in a minute. We've actually got a special guest hopping in here, too, at 7:30 Central. If everything goes as planned, we're going to have our Packers insider, Mr. Paul Brettel, hopping on here, too. That's right. To break down the defense and kind of tell us what he kind of expects as far as the remainder of this offseason and more specifically the draft, how the Packers may approach it from a defensive standpoint. Obviously, there's several different holes that we still need to fill, Tim, and I have all the faith in the world that Goody's going to get it done. I know it seems like every time Rudy Ford's name gets mentioned, my name gets tagged in the tweet too because I am the president of the Rudy Ford fan club. I'm still holding out a little bit of hope that they can make that work. Obviously, Josiah DeGuara signed with, I believe, the Jaguars, so he's off the table. Listen, I don't want to dog DeGuara. I think he was a leader. I think he was a guy that that Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave absolutely looked up to. It just didn't work out, and yep. I wish him all the best, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I wanted him on the roster either, right? We got a show to do, and yeah, so that's kind of how I see that. I don't think it's going to be a huge loss other than that little bit of leadership that he provided in the locker room as well. But yep. What do you think about the DeGuara news, Tim?
Oh, I think things should work out for him down in Jacksonville. I'm sure they'll find a role for him. He's a good guy. You know, off the field, definitely a good guy. Like you said, locker room guy, but not your favorite out there executing on some of those blocks and some of the other things that we've kind of seen on the chalk talks. But what I think this really says, I mean, it's just my opinion, but it shows that the Packers are committed to letting Tyler Davis try and play his way onto this team. And I think that's huge because they had a lot of faith in him when they brought him in. And, moving on from DeGuara just means that's what I think is going to happen at camp is, you know, keep your eye on Tyler Davis stepping into one of those, middle to bottom depth chart spots here in the tight end room going forward.
Yeah, for sure. 2-0 for this in the chat says, I love DeGuara, but honestly, he just took a roster spot without much to offer. All the best. I think that's a fair yeah. assessment, right? Coach Lynn in the chat says, Josiah DeGuara is from Sacramento. Great dude. There's not one person in that locker room that had a bad thing to say about Josiah DeGuara. And hearing Tucker Kraft talk about how he led them in Bible study, yep. and was a big part of him kind of taking that first year step, you know, as a rookie and just showing him what it was like to be a pro. Again, man, that's why you got to kind of tip your cap to DeGuara. And I hope we see him lock the AFC up. I really do, man. I think that would be cool. So let's see what else we got here in the chat. I know many people are talking about Rudy since I brought it up. Coach Lynn said, or I'm sorry, Mark Zambito. Let me start with Coach Lynn. Coach Lynn said, Ford's coming back. I truly believe that. Keep speaking it, Coach. Keep speaking it, man. I'm wanting it. And Mark Zambito said, Ford after the draft. That's a great point. You know, see what you can get in the draft, right, Tim? And that's kind of your insurance policy. But you do run the risk that someone else will sign him. Obviously, he hasn't gotten a whole lot of looks this far in free agency. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition. But I think you're on board with that too, right? Bringing back Rudy Ford if we can.
Absolutely. He seems like one of those guys that, like, you know, give him one more crack at this. You know, this could be the year it all clicks for him. And we've seen those flashes throughout his time in Green Bay. And, you know, I'm interested to see him back on the field. I feel like we didn't get much last year like we wanted to, and he kind of just faded out of that lineup. So, Mark brings up a good point. You know, see what happens in this draft. And I mean, we've done our mocks. We already know how we feel about the safeties available in this draft. So it could be that kind of scenario. And then, you know, Rudy gets his chance to, again, you know, play your way onto the team. So I'm all for it. I love the way he plays the game and the way he practices, too. You can tell a lot by a player how they approach their workout and their practice. And Rudy's definitely one of those guys that, he's – I'm not going to say Rashawn Gary level with it. You know, Rashawn's probably the the leader when it comes to that. But he's up there certainly in that caliber.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Gavin in the chat here on X. Good to see you, Gavin. Appreciate you swinging through, buddy. He said he's good, but I'd rather have Justin Simmons. You know, I think I'm in the minority with Justin Simmons. I'm not a big fan of Justin Simmons, but man, I'll tell you, there's many, many Packer fans that are just like Gavin that would love to have Justin Simmons on the roster, right? And who knows, man, that maybe, you know, maybe that changes scenery and you can get two or three good years out of him before he kind of calls it a career. I think he's 30 years old, I believe. So one thing you would be getting with Justin Simmons is some you'd be getting some experience, you know, and that does that's something that's very, very valuable, obviously. I know, let's see here, Coach Lynn said, can Tucker Kraft play move tight end or H spot? It's a great question, Coach. I mean, until we see it happen, I'm a little hesitant to say so. It's not like there's a whole lot to it. I do know that LaFleur was really big on Tyler Davis. In that H spot, it seemed like he was the one doing the majority of the sifting from that kind of that wing spot, if you will. So we'll see, you know, any way that you can get both Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave on the field as often as you can, I think is a good thing. And last year we didn't show a whole lot of two back sets, right, where you would kind of call the tight end the H, right? So maybe the fact that we didn't show that much last year, maybe they'll come out, you know, early and kind of show that early and often this year. But I don't see anything about Tucker's play that makes me think he couldn't do it. But, you know, it's just one of those things until you see him do it, you're a little hesitant. I'll tell you what he can do, though, Tim. There was an autograph session today, all right? Mm-hmm. And I want to give credit here. At TuckHeartLob17 said, Spotted Cow, autographed jersey, handshake emoji. Some people are going, Spotted Cow. You see Tucker Kraft holding a beer there, right? I actually got the video from this. Check this out. This was Tucker Kraft. A fan handed him a Spotted Cow beer, which, by the way, absolutely delicious beverage. Every time I go to Green Bay, my goal is to get the Elk Stroganoff, a little side of beer cheese soup, and a big Spotted Cow, man. Every time. That's the way I roll. But let's see what Tucker Kraft, see how he handled this Spotted Cow here.
You got something to be a
part of. Break out the tornado, Tucker. Break it out. You know he's going to tornado it.
Spotted cow season, right?
There it is.
I guess it was much needed.
I was thirsty.
Is there another man that fits the Green Bay Packers better than Tucker Kraft, Tim?
You know, I don't know. If there is, do we want to meet him? Yeah, right. I don't know if I want to meet that guy. No. In all seriousness, though, that's he's Wisconsin's own for all intents and purposes right now. You know, I don't know if he's on Bakhtiari level there with the beer chug, but he has a little tornado technique. You know, Bakhtiari's more of the, you know, red solo cup, you know, plastic beer cup chugger. So
take it down in like a half a second, right?
Yeah, exactly. But no, Tuck Norris, man, he's the man. I would not get in a beer chugging contest with Tucker Kraft anytime soon at all.
It's funny too, because David Bakhtiari was obviously the beer chugger of the team, right? We all know that. He wore that title with pride. And then he and Tucker entered that contest last offseason, right? The chugging contest. I can't remember if it was Barstool or whoever it was that put it on.
I think it was in Germany.
Was that where it was?
I think it was, yeah.
So wherever it was, obviously Bach is gone now, and he's passed that torch along to Tucker Kraft. So I think Tucker Kraft is officially the beer chugger of the Green Bay Packers now that Bach is gone. So it was just cool to see those two kind of bonding the way they did there, you know. And Tucker, man, on the field, God, what a blast to watch, man. Just an absolute blast to watch. Let's see what else we got here in the chat real quick. If you'll help me mark them as we go to Tim, we'll try to keep an eye on it here. Let's see. 2-0 for this says, we need Nixon and Ford back on the ballot this election year. Hey, get the campaign roaring there. 2-0 for this. You know, it's funny because I heard today, what was it on? It was either on the Green Bay Packers podcast that usually has Tom Silverstein, although he wasn't on it this week. I think it was Ryan Wood and a couple people. Or it was on Wilde and Tausch. They talked as if Jeff Hafley, I think someone must have said it at a presser and I just missed it. that Jeff Hafley watched the tape of the Green Bay Packers and was like, okay, here's what I like, here's what I don't like. He really liked Keyshawn Nixon in the slot. Keep in mind, Keyshawn Nixon playing the slot in this defense is going to be a little bit different, right? There's going to be different keys. There's going to be different aggressive points, triggers, if you will. One thing you could say about Key, I don't think he's the best defender, you know, in the league. Don't get me wrong. I think he graded out somewhere around 60, which isn't horrible, but he's going to play aggressive. There's no hesitation in Keyshawn Nixon's game, right? Yep. So I would love to see him kind of come in and really grab a hold of that slot role and just perform at a little bit different level. Keep in mind, that was the first year he had ever played slot, to the best of my knowledge, to at least significant snaps. He ended up picking off Patrick Mahomes. Remember that game against the Chiefs? That was a big play there. If I remember correctly, it was Keyshawn. So, I don't know. How do you feel about it, Tim? Obviously, we're going to still kind of comb through the draft and potentially draft the slot, whether it's Cooper DeJean or one of these safety hybrid types, right? Like a Javon Bullard or someone like that. But how do you feel about Keyshawn Nixon starting in the slot, man?
Preparation beats talent every time. And like you said, maybe he's not the best slot corner in the NFL, but Keyshawn is a guy that doesn't take plays off. He's not a guy you see very often looking lost out there. We've caught a couple guys with their pants down on film last season. Keyshawn tends to only have those type of hiccups every once in a while. You don't see him very consistently making those kind of mental error type mistakes. So being in a new system, you know, I fully expect him to take this seriously and to step into a little bit of a leadership role himself back there in that young secondary. So I do. I see him stepping up. And with Jeff Hafley, you know, you never know, man. The sky's the limit for a guy like Keyshawn, because he's going to go hard every play. And, you know, he's one of those guys you wish you had, you know, 9 or 10 more of those guys on your team. Yeah. But, you know, realistically, they don't grow on trees. So we're appreciative of what we have there. And, you know, if anything, it's going to make that slot cornerback competition very interesting, because it is. It's Keyshawn's job to lose, and I don't see him giving it up very easily. So it'll be fun to see how this develops.
Yeah, definitely. Ron Samble in the chat said Nixon's sack on Dak was awesome also. That sack was phenomenal. Dak kind of rolls out and thinks, okay, I've got time. I'm either going to throw it away or I'm gonna let someone kind of, you know, run the scramble drill with me here. And Keyshawn wasted no time. I remember us breaking that down on Chalk Talk. And, I mean, he shot his shot and hit home. You could tell Dak getting up off the turf, too, was like, what the heck just happened, right? Because of that aggressiveness that Keyshawn showed, for sure. Maybe he takes a huge jump with him, man.
I think so. I mean, everything seems to be lining up that way for him, you know?
Definitely. So. I mean, you don't pay him $6 million per average, right, if you don't think he can hold his own there in the slot, right?
Obviously, Keyshawn's not a guy that's going to disappear. He's not a get the bag and now I'm going to just coast. Right. That's, I don't think he's wired that way at all.
You could tell he really cares about his legacy. And some people may hear that and go, what legacy? He hasn't really done anything. Like his career, to be able to look back on his career and think, okay, here's what I accomplished. You could tell that means something to him. He's one of those guys that kind of plays with his emotions on his sleeve. He's not afraid to talk crap. We showed the tweets just the other day where they were talking to the Bears players, right? And getting that whole rivalry kindled up here. But
I think he wants to be respected as a defender too. You know, the accolades in the return game is great. You know, he knows that we know that he's that dude, so it's not a secret. I think he wants to be respected as a slot corner in this league, and he's gonna have a great system and a great chance to prove that this year with the Packers. So a lot to be excited about with 25 in the slot.
Yeah, I agree, man. Knucklehead Paul B in the chat says draft Jaden Hicks and you don't even have to worry about Simmons or four. So he's big on Jaden Hicks. Okay. Let me just take a quick gander here. I'll tell you where he sits on my
board. Where's he on the Clayton big board here?
Let's see here. We got Javon Bullard at 62. We got Oladipo or Oladapo, however you pronounce it. The 69 spot, yeah. Cam Kinchins, we got at 82. Kalen Bullock, we've got at 102. So Mustafa, we got at 121. Taki Smith at 127. These are all safeties, by the way. Jaden Hicks, I've got at 151. And the main thing, the only thing that really brung his grade down, Paul, is his 2022 PFF grade. So kind of had a down year his 2022 season. This year bounced back a touch. You know, obviously he was sitting when the season ended, he was sitting on the draft board, according to PFF, around the 160 spot. But then he came in on the consensus big board at year's end at 103. And then what's really cool is the 33rd team agrees with you, Paul. They've got him in the 75 spot. So much higher than where I have him. Again, I've got him in the 151 spot currently. So finally excited to get this board done. We're coming down the stretch here. I should be able to button it up here real soon. But, yeah, it's I love building the board, though, man. It's so much fun every year. You just learn so much about the prospects, constantly adjusting and reading up on them and everything. It's just a way to kind of force you to learn your craft a little bit. It's an absolute blast, man, no doubt about it. Let's see here. 2-0 for this in the chat said he thinks it's – he says, I say it's 65% that old Ford is back.
65%.
Some people go, why the awkward silence? Every time we hit it at the same time, and it freezes it. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Oh, man.
See what else we got here. Man, the chat is lit up. Good to see everybody in here. We got some folks from Rumble. We got folks from X. Everybody in here, man. This is absolutely awesome. Let's see here. A lot of people interested in talking about the safety room, which is kind of cool because we're going to talk a little defense with Paul Brettel here in a minute. Let's see here what else we got. Charles in the chat. Charles Reimer says, do you think Halfley didn't like the other unsigned safeties, Ford, et cetera? I think that's very realistic, don't you, Tim? Like he may have come in and watched the tape and said, yeah, you know, nothing special there with Rudy. Let's see what else we can get, right? Let's see if we can improve. That could definitely be the case, right?
I think it could be. I think it's still early in the in this kind of formulation of what he's trying to do, and I'm sure he's...
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, Goody and LaFleur are probably all ears right now. They want to get Coach Half's opinion on how he wants to formulate this defense. So that could be true. I could also see maybe not, you know, and maybe this is just a business thing. You know, he's testing the market, you know, like Mark said earlier in the chat, maybe that we're waiting until after the draft and we make a move with Rudy Ford. Certainly, even if you are intending on, you know, maybe moving on from him and you're kind of over it, he's still kind of someone you'd have in the back of your mind if push comes to shove and we need another safety back there. He's a guy you're going to be calling. So, and like you said, Clayton, has he gone anywhere, interviewed anything? There really hasn't been much of a market.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything. Of course, we didn't hear anything about Josiah either. And it's just bang, the signing. Yeah. Right. So it may happen like that. It may be something that he takes a visit or two. The fact that it is so quiet though, I think it does give us a pretty decent chance of getting him back and for what will most likely be a veteran minimum, you know, or at least really mm-hmm. close to it. So, let's see here. Coach Lynn in the chat says Hicks is a stud. So he's big on Hicks there. Good stuff. Blake B in the chat said, I'm a big fan of Bullard and Tyquee Smith in the mid rounds, both really physical guys who played top competition. So I think I mentioned both of those just a second ago, right? Who do you say? We got Tyquee Smith. I've got Tyquee Smith in the 127 spot. He had an RAS in the sevens, graded out really, really well according to PFF last year. He started really high on the big board, if I remember correctly. And then he was sitting at around 116 on the consensus big board when it really mattered to me. On the 33rd team, they have him in the 112 spot. So somewhere between, you know, 110, 120, pretty realistic, I think, when it comes to safety Tyke Smith out of Georgia. And that's another thing, too. Anytime you you get to adding in multiple players from the same program, you know, I think it's probably, I mean, we'd have to double check to make sure. I think there's a good chance that Tyke Smith might have been an underclassman when Quay and Devontae Wyatt was there, right? So you kind of create these pipelines of bringing players in from the same school, you know, so maybe something similar there. Who was the other guy? They said Bullard, right? Javon Bullard, which I know that's Jacob's dude. Jacob definitely got the old man crush on Javon Bullard. He's in the 62 spot for me. Decent last year, PFF. This past season, he started actually this offseason 47th, I think, on the big board. Consensus big board had him at 61, and the 33rd team had him at 81. So I've got him in the 62 spot. I've got him worthy of a second-round pick, really, second- to third-round pick. And I know some people see him a little lower than that. If we were to land him there in the third round, I'd be totally great with that, man, totally. So we got Emilio in here now. Emilio, you done faking with it. We told him you just played some machine noises on YouTube to make it sound good.
Dude, I just got – I woke up at 6 this morning, so I just got done. You only get the aerator for a day, right? So I had to make good use out of it.
Got to get your money's worth, man. You got to do it, right?
I'm a, you know, stingy Italian, right? I got to get the money's worth out of it.
Stingy. We're going to get hate for that, guys. He's allowed to say it. He's Italian. Everybody calm down, all right? Everybody calm down out there. It's going to be okay. Let's see. Chris Nye in the chat says fifth round for Hicks. I guess he would kind of work out to the fifth round, right, where I had him at. Let's see. We had him, again, in the 151 spot, pretty close to the fifth round. So, yeah, that's where he sits on my board. It doesn't mean I'm accurate, right? Again, this is just how my board sits. And, again, the 33rd team has him at 75. So that would be, you know, in that third round range. So somewhere between the third and the fifth, I think, is pretty reasonable look as far as Hicks goes. Let's see what else in here. Chris in the chat said, Clayton, what would be more awesome than seeing all the people in the chat, seeing them all hitting the like button? That would be, Chris. I know what you're saying now, big dog. If you guys would hit that like button for us, so other Packer fans can find this content, find this channel. If you're watching on Twitter, feel free to click on my profile. You'll see the YouTube link in there. You can hop over there, subscribe to the channel. A little bit easier interface to communicate in the chat on YouTube. So appreciate y'all swinging through. Although Twitter seems to be getting a little bit better. X seems to be getting a little bit better with the chats for sure. Mm-hmm. Ron Samble in the chat says it's possible the Packers already have a minimum offer on the table for Ford, and he's seeing if he can find better. Tim, that makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it?
Yep. That's another way of looking at it too. And, you know, obviously the market hasn't really responded just yet, but again, you know, there's a lot of time left between now and training camp. A lot of things can happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of things happening, you never know what's going to happen on this show, like getting the very famous, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Paul Brettel in the house. Paul, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm actually going to see you guys, Clayton, but happy to be here.
Yeah, man, good to see you, buddy. I'll tell you this, you got that fresh cut rolling. You got it just for the show, didn't you?
I did. got it at about 4 o'clock today. I said I got to at least do my part and show up with my hair cut a little bit better.
I'm glad somebody's looking decent on here. We got Emilio down there. He's looking homeless, man.
No, I got to go get a haircut, Paul.
I get my haircut about 6 weeks past the date when I probably should be.
So right.
The point we arrived at today.
See,
that's hilarious because I get mine cut about at least every 2 weeks. When you got a fat head like mine, you got to keep it down on the sides, boys. I'm just saying. Trying to save that marriage, trying to put it together. So you got to do what you got to do. Now, Paul, it's good to see you, buddy. We'll be really, really respectful of your time here. We appreciate you jumping on. It's always a blast to talk ball with you. I know we were going to kind of talk a little defense, if that's all right with you. We broke down offense last time, and we're closing in on draft date, man. It's right around the corner. And I wanted to kind of get your take on the defense really as a whole, but some specific positions as well. And I'll just kind of kick it off with the safety position. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, they go out and sign Xavier McKinney, and I think everybody's excited about that. I didn't see one Packer fan that disagreed with that signing. So Goody definitely made a fan favorite move there. But what do you think they're going to do with that other safety position as far as, you know, who can play that box safety? I think it is a big misconception too, Paul, that like some people think, okay, McKinney's just always going to play deep. there's going to be some maneuver around. You know, at the NFL, you got to be able to play both. But what do you think they got in mind when it comes to the other safety position?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to your point on what you just mentioned, and when Xavier McKinney was meeting with us for his introductory press conference in the locker room, and he was asked, you know, where do you prefer to play? He goes, I want to be where the action is. So week to week, whatever the game plan calls for, that's where I want to be. And I think that's what we're going to see a lot of. I know during the combine, obviously before free agency, Brian Gutekunst talked about the importance of the interchangeability between the two safety spots and the nickel position to keep offenses to keep opposing offenses off balance, guessing, not necessarily sure where each player is going to be or what their responsibilities are based on the personnel that they see on the field. And so I think we're going to see a ton of that from Xavier McKinney, where it's truly going to be week to week, game plan to game plan on where he spends most of his time. Now, with that said, you know, and to your point, I think where he ends up playing the most snaps for this team is going to be in that deep safety role. I think we're all anticipating more cover one under Jeff Hafley, but also in terms of just the value that Xavier McKinney can bring to the defense, that's where his impact's going to be felt the most. And one of the words that I've used to describe him in various articles is a force multiplier, because we've seen, we've talked about, we've heard about what he brings to the table, that diverse skill set. And as Jeff Hafley was going through and describing what his perfect safety was, you know, you can go through and look at Xavier McKinney and check the box, just kind of going down that line. But that interchangeability that he brings is going to be such an important part of that as well. And as we look at that box safety position, obviously that is kind of the big role that they have to fill. And so I think they could go a few different routes with that. Obviously they're going to draft someone in the draft, because even with the addition of McKinney, like, this safety room is still very thin. I believe it's Benny Sapp, Zane Anderson, and Anthony Johnson Jr. are currently making up that safety room. You know, Benny Sapp, Zane Anderson, they're special teams guys if they're on the roster. Anthony Johnson Jr., you hope that he can take a step forward in year two, but if you're Brian Gutekunst, that's not something you're banking on. Like, if that happens over the summer and into the season, that's just a bonus. But you're not banking on your year two seventh round pick, who's played, I think, less than 250 snaps last year, to be that guy for you. So they're going to have to absolutely add to that position group. And again, I think while we can focus on the box safety position, because there's definitely a need there, I think looking at the safeties who bring that versatility, who can fill multiple roles, because again, McKinney's not just going to be deep. So when he's playing closer to the line of scrimmage, or if he's taking some slot snaps, who's going to take over those responsibilities? And in terms of free agency, you know, I think bringing back Rudy Ford makes a ton of sense. That might not be a signing that we see until after the draft. You know, they might see how things play out in terms of addressing the safety at that point. But he just checks a lot of boxes for the Packers in terms of what they need. There's just the overall reliability and stability he adds. He's a willing tackler, capable run defender. And Ryan Downer, the defensive backs coach, when talking about Rudy Ford last season, talked about just his attention to detail and his you know, what he brings to the team in the film room in that aspect of things. And so I think just in terms of raising your floor for what you have in the safety position as a whole, he's someone that can help you do that. And in terms of, like, salary cap, minimal cap hit, if you bring him back and, you know, Anthony Johnson steps up and, you know, they draft a safety or two and they step up and you have to move on, there's not really going to be any financial commitment on that part. And let's remember, too, the last 2 years, Rudy Ford has been primarily on defense because that's what's been needed at the safety position. But when they signed him after the Jaguars released him prior to the 2022 season, he was a flyer on the punt coverage unit. Like, that was his bread and butter. That was is what he was known for. So this is a signing that can raise the floor of your safety group as a whole. Worst case scenario for him, you find someone who can start next to McKinney they feel is better defensively. You still have a key special teams contributor. So I think that's a signing it's not Julian Blackman, but it's a signing that makes a lot of sense for this Packers team in terms of building the overall depth of this roster, elevating the competition. And that competition aspect of it, you know, we all know that that's important, but go watch every time Brian Gutekunst has spoken this offseason, end of season press conference, combine, owners meeting. Competition is the thing he keeps going back to. And he points to the offensive side of the ball last year in terms of that helping the overall growth of that unit. I mean, look at the offensive line rotation, the receiver room where you got six guys, seven guys who could see snaps any given week. He looks at that competition. He has said, we got to bring that to the defensive side of the ball. And so Rudy Ford, you know, he elevates that competition within the middle back end portion of the depth chart. And so that's, I'm not going to say under the radar. We all know who Rudy Ford is, but I think that's a signing that I could see making a lot of sense. That's, again, not Julian Blackman, not an early round pick, but something that the Packers could do to elevate the position.
Got it. Good stuff. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, hey, Paul. Just a quick question moving on to middle linebacker, inside linebacker. So Quay Walker, Zay McDuffie, and I guess is my question. Christian Welch, right? I mean, Eric Wilson. Mm-hmm. You think one or two in the draft maybe at this position? What are your thoughts about, you know, that area of the defense?
I think they at least have to take two in the draft. You know, Brian Gutekunst talked about, I believe it was at the combine, that they need more bodies within that position group because they're switching to the 4-3. You know, he mentioned just to get through training camp, between the 53-man roster and the practice squad in season, they're just going to need additional depth there. And like you said, even in wondering who's going to start next to McDuffie and Walker in the 4-3, they just need more bodies right now as well. So again, that's why I think they're going to add to it multiple times in the draft. I do wonder if the Packers view this, obviously they know it's a need, but I wonder if they feel it's less of a need than maybe what we do on the outside. Reason I say that, you got Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie played his final season at Boston College under Jeff Hafley, someone who showed last season that he can be a capable starter, can be relied upon. And Brian Gutekunst has said over and over again, like, this is a nickel league. They're going to spend the bulk of their snaps, 70, 75% of their snaps, with two linebackers on the field. So I could see them being comfortable having those two players, and they have Eric Wilson as well. And again, that's not necessarily someone you maybe want to rely on for a ton of snaps, but even when McDuffie was emerging last season and starting defensively when Walker, DeFondre Campbell were out, when it was obvious passing situations, we would see Eric Wilson subbed in for him. Yeah. So there's a specific obvious passing down role that they feel comfortable utilizing him in. And in terms of experience, I think he's played over 2,000-3,000 career snaps, most of which coming from his time in Minnesota. So if you have those three, you add someone, you know, within your top 4 or 5 picks that they have in the top 100, you bolster out the depth on the back end. And that isn't to say they might not look, you know, again, a similar Rudy Ford S signing. All right, let's see how the draft plays out. All right, we didn't necessarily get, you know, who we wanted to fill at the back end of the roster, who's left in free agency. Like, I still think all of that's in play, but just how they've approached this offseason at the position, it almost feels like there's just not that same sense of urgency that we on the outside have looking at the depth chart going, you know, who's going to start next to Walker and McDuffie. And right. I tend to think that and feel that way for the reasons mentioned.
Good stuff. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead, Emilio.
That's exactly it, Paul. And that's probably why they swung some money to Keyshawn. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, appreciate your time, man. Asking on the defensive line. So we have Kenny, right. You know, holding it down. We're going to bring Quay and Preston down to the line, right? They're going to be edges now, which they've kind of always been. But we have TJ Slayton still on the roster, Wyatt, Colby Wooden, and Carl Brooks, and then LVN. So do you think that we're going to even need to jump? You know, obviously we were talking about Tavondre Sweat early in the season. You know, we got our new nose, but completely different defense now. What's your take on that?
I think where the Packers are in just a terrific position entering the draft is Brian Gutekunst can, I feel like, pretty much do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
You know, 5 picks in the top 100. Like, if they don't get that key position, you know, if it's not an offensive lineman at 25, well, they're picking at 41. They're picking in the 50s. They're picking in the 70s, 90s. Like, there's so many opportunities to address different positions. And in terms of holes on this roster, it's not as if there's a ton of those either. So I think when it comes to the interior defensive line, it's a heavily rotated position. It's one where just overall roster depth is needed, one to get through training camp, to get through the preseason. So won't be surprised whatsoever if at some point, you know, looking at day three, if that's an addition for them. But because they have five picks in the top 100, if Goody's in a position where he feels that the best player on the board or someone that just fits really well with what they want to do is available, I could absolutely see them going that route. Again, just because they have the flexibility, they have the right. That when you have five draft picks at that part of the draft, like, you know, the world's Goody's oyster going into this. You can do so many different things. And, you know, shifting slightly to the edge rusher position, I wrote about that earlier this week discussing Brenton Cox, because Gutekunst had talked about him at the owner's meeting. But that depth is an under the radar need for me. And, you know, it's just not something that's garnered a ton of attention this offseason. You know, they have Preston Smith, they have Rashawn Gary, they have Lucas Van Ness, but JJ Enagbare, you know, he tore his ACL against Dallas. Like, he's going to miss a portion of the season. We'll find out as we get closer to, you know, what that timeline looks like. But that's a position that has three, four guys each week at a minimum, typically, that are seeing snaps. And right now, again, that fourth guy looks like it would be Brenton Cox. And flashed in the preseason, you know, has a year under his belt. But in terms of, you know, hedging your bets, if you're Brian Gutekunst, you know, you're not going to solely rely on Brenton Cox, the undrafted rookie, to come in and be your fourth edge rusher. There needs to be that competition. There needs to be that buffer there in case he doesn't take that step forward. They have Keyshawn Banks on the roster, undrafted rookie from last year. Aaron Mosby they signed. He was on the practice squad. So there's players there, but I could see that being an under-the-radar need for them that at some point in the draft, and not saying it's round one, but at some point in the draft that they add to that position group. Because at the end of the day, the name of the game is getting after the quarterback. And Jeff Hafley, from his time at Boston College, he blitzed a ton on third downs, but didn't do it all that much on first and second downs. He relied on his four-man front to win their one-on-one matchups, to get after the quarterback. And again, that just magnifies the importance of those position groups up front and their ability to win and get home. Because like I said, and we all know, getting after the quarterback's the name of the game.
Yeah. And right. You know, it's funny too, because that's exactly, you know, we always kind of draw the parallel between Hafley and Robert Saleh, seeing that he coached under him in San Francisco. You know, Robert Saleh kind of bringing that Pete Carroll Legion of Boom defense over, that cover three look with a little buzz effect. You know, when you kind of look at it, that's what the Jets did. You know, they played nickel, I think, 80% of the time, and they mainly bring a four-man rush, right? So I think that you'll probably see Hafley try to rely on that, like you're saying, on first and second down a little bit more than maybe what most teams do in the league. I'm excited to see it all kind of come together. Last question, Paul. Cornerback, you know, it seems like there's no middle ground. Either you're like us, we're going, man, we still need corner. Our corners have kind of, you know, I don't know, underplayed, I guess you could say. Then you've got other people on the opposite side. It's like, we've got Eric Stokes, we're fine, we're loaded at corner, we're fine at corner. How do you feel about the cornerback position? Set it straight here for us, because I really do feel like we could use another boundary corner, especially if you look up at the horizontal board on draft night there on Thursday night, and the best player available is just a stud corner. I feel like you got to pull the trigger there. How do you feel about corner?
Yeah, I tend to be in that group as well. And again, on paper, if you went into the season with Jair, Carrington, and Eric Stokes as your top three boundary cornerbacks, like, you're in good shape. You should be anyways. But right. We can't sit here and say for certain that we know what to expect from Eric Stokes, because nobody does. One, because of just the amount of time he missed last year. But, you know, those first 8-9 games prior to his injury in 2022, like, did not go well. You know, he had a really strong rookie season. Looked like he was in the midst of a sophomore slump before his injury happened. And then 2023 missed most of the year. Like, we don't know what to expect from him in that regard. Carrington Valentine showed a ton of promise. Love the juice, the energy that he brings to that defensive side of the ball. And that's a quick side note here. I love the emphasis on that, the mentality that they're trying to bring to the defensive side of the ball. You know, they talked about that with Jeff Hafley and the energy, and part of kind of revamping the defensive position coaches this year, they were trying to do that, bring that juice. You know, Matt LaFleur said, I think, something to the effect of, like, how can we expect our players to go out there with all this energy if we as a coaching staff aren't bringing that as well? So I love that mindset. And even in choosing Jeff Hafley as the defensive coordinator, LaFleur said, look, we just wanted the right guy. And he happens to run a 4-3. Like Matt LaFleur didn't set out and say, oh, I got to run a 4-3 now because the 3-4 hasn't worked for us. They got the right guy in there. And so, again, I love that mindset, that mentality that they're trying to bring to that side of the ball. And Jair, Carrington Valentine, they got that juice, that swagger that you want at the cornerback position. But again, seventh round rookie coming into his second season. Again, they should be in good shape, but you don't know for certain either. And that's a premier position, one of the most important positions in the game. And even with Keyshawn Nixon in the middle there, like, I don't think re-signing him should stop them from, if they feel that they find the right nickel corner in this draft and there are a few options available, that should stop them from trying to upgrade that position and, again, elevate the competition for it. So it's, Gutekunst at the NFL owners meeting talked about how he feels that they're in pretty good shape there, and they got Corey Ballantyne on the back end. So I definitely see how this, one side versus the other in terms of the cornerback position is forming. But if it were me, because of the importance of it, just because of some of the uncertainty that's the unknowns that are currently there, again, if the right player is available, 100% make that selection. But it's not a position either. I'll say this. They're in better shape right now, as I view it, than what I thought 2 months ago. 2 months ago, I thought this was a way bigger need than where they're at now. And I think a lot of that was bringing back Keyshawn Nixon to at least, again, that just raises the floor of your nickel position.
It does.
Yeah. I have to say you can't upgrade it, but that just elevates it right there. And now going into the draft, like if they didn't add a specific nickel, like it's no longer a must and no longer a have to. Even bringing back Corey Ballantyne, like if he's your fifth cornerback, like I feel like you're in pretty good shape in terms of that room right now because of what we saw from him last season.
Yeah. I completely agree. When you said Ballantyne, I know I'm in the minority amongst Packer fans. I feel like Ballantyne has shown more promise personally than Stokes has, and then Ballantyne has. And I'm a Kentucky fan, so I want Ballantyne to pan out more than anyone. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like if you don't believe me, go watch the Minnesota tape last year and watch Ballantyne on JJ, on Justin Jefferson. It was pretty impressive. Now, I'm not saying he can play like that week in and week out, but I agree with you. If he ends up being your fifth corner, you're in pretty good shape there. Mm-hmm. So, last question. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, Paul. Do you have a defensive draft crush for the first round that you think, okay, there's a chance he may be there for the Packers? Who's the first name that comes to mind when you think defense, 25th pick for the Green Bay Packers?
That's a great question. As I've been going through this and doing my research and putting my articles together, I keep going back to the offensive side of the ball at that 25th pick, because there's just that, the guys that you really like, like a Quinion Mitchell, of course, guys like that, like, well, they're not going to be there. Right. And then there's like your Edrin Cooper at linebacker. And you're like, is that a little too rich for drafting him at 25th overall? And so, looking at like the edge rusher position, like I feel like positional value wise, like that could be a sweet spot at the 25th pick. And Latu from UCLA is one of the players that comes to mind. There's the uncertainty, with the injury history with him, but man, just in terms of like overall talent at that edge rusher position in this year's class, like he is up there. And again, not sure what the injury situation is and if that would, drop him back to the Packers at 25, but that's why. And again, we're just talking about the need for depth, but it's not like a pressing need by any means. So that would absolutely be a Packers finding themselves in a best player available situation. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I know he had a really good pro day. Not sure if that vaults him out of the Packers range, but that's another player who comes to mind. But again, we just talked about it. Cornerback, edge rusher, those aren't the pressing needs that we see at safety, that we see at the linebacker position. But I'm struggling from a who's available positional value standpoint to see, is that a position that they should be taking at that spot? Especially again, going back to the amount of draft capital that they have with five picks in the top 100.
Absolutely. I love it, Paul. I really appreciate you dropping in, man. It's always a blast talking with you. Appreciate you answering the questions. Definitely coming away with more information here. And you plan on doing any mock drafts, or do you kind of stay away from that stuff?
No, I usually do one or two once we get up. Once we get up right close to it, I'll
when it actually matters, right? Yeah.
I'm still in the. I'm admittedly still in the info data collecting phase of this as well. But I will say, did you guys see Graham Barton's pro day numbers today?
Uh-oh. How do they look?
Oh, out of this world. So our conversation last week looked good. About 25 looks a lot more spot on right now.
Nice.
Let's go.
Good stuff. Paul. The pick last year of Lucas Van Ness, like that just felt very Packers-y. This feels to me very Packers-y. Those Packers boxes.
Nice. All that versatility. Oh, my gosh. Man. Yep. It'd be absolutely awesome. We appreciate you, Paul. You are the man. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Appreciate it as always.
Appreciate it, Paul. Thanks, Paul.
You guys follow him at Paul_Bredel on X. Also, check out his work over at Packers Wire. One of, if not the best writers right now for Packers fans. He's just absolutely awesome. So, always appreciate his time. And that was a ton of info, was it not, fellas?
Yeah. I like where Paul's head's at on this, though. I think we're going interior offensive line early in this draft. Just my thought.
All he needed
is a prediction.
Yeah. Just we caught some help for it early, didn't we, Emilio? We're talking offensive line.
All we needed to see were the numbers, right? That's all Goody was waiting for. Now he's good to go. If he's got over that 9, we're good. Green light.
I'll tell you, we've got about 10 minutes left. Why don't we do this since we're talking about this? Bucky Brooks is another guy I've got a lot of respect for. I think I was going to pull it up. I didn't want to be rude and stare at my phone while Paul was talking. But Bucky Brooks, if I remember correctly, played for the Packers. He went on to be a scout, right? He and Daniel Jeremiah, they do the Move the Sticks podcast. And he released his mock draft 3.0. So let's just kind of pop it up here on the screen. Let's take a quick look. We won't spend a whole lot of time. We just got 10 minutes left. You guys stop me. Cut me off. If anything catches your eye here and you want to comment on it, we'll try to rattle through it and then get to number 25 and see what Bucky Brooks had going on. So he said at number one, Caleb Williams. By the way, if you guys haven't heard Ryan's pod from earlier today, buckle your chin strap and go listen to it. So Caleb Williams going number one.
I mean, he's better than Mitch Trubisky, I guess. That's
great. It's hilarious, man. And this is the stuff, like, if you guys remember, I caught a little heat for it too. Last year, during the season, I'm going, guys, something just don't feel right. Like with Caleb, listen, I could care less what your personal views are. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when was the last time a quarterback came in the league and in college he acted like that. It was just kind of a look at me, look at me, look at me attention, right? I think he's going to have a hard time stepping into a huddle and leading the team. I really do. And, you know, the whole – there's some kind of backstory with his dad and his dad being very pushy and very kind of involved and all that stuff. And there's no doubt he's got a ton of talent, right? We just got to see if it transfers over to the National Football League. But anyway, Bucky Brooks has the Chicago Bears taking Caleb Williams, number one. Number two, the Washington Commanders taking Jaden Daniels. Number three, the New England Patriots taking J.J. McCarthy. You guys remember we talked about it yesterday. It sounds like there's real buzz around J.J. McCarthy, and it's not rumors, according to people we respect. Last year, people were really quiet on some of the rumors, like the Will Levis stuff. If I remember correctly, Daniel Jeremiah wasn't biting on it last year. And me as a Kentucky fan and Will Levis playing Kentucky, I'm going, man, I wish it was. I want him to go top three because that helps your college program. They can go recruit the next player and go, hey, look, our quarterback just went number three, right? Sounds like this J.J. McCarthy smoke. There's some fire there. Bucky Brooks has him going number three to New England. Number four, they've got Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, going to the Arizona Cardinals. Number five, the Los Angeles Chargers taking tackle Joe Alt, absolute stud.
I feel like that's definitely a Harbaugh pick.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
For sure.
Number six, New York Giants taking wide receiver Malik Nabers. I think he's going to be really good. Number seven, the Tennessee Titans taking Fashanu, the offensive tackle from Penn State. Number eight, the Atlanta Falcons taking Dallas Turner, edge defender from Alabama. Number nine, the Bears back on the clock take Rome Adunze from Washington, wide receiver. Get Caleb Williams a target there. The New York Jets at number 10 taking tight end Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers playing with Aaron Rodgers, kind of exciting. I got to be honest with you, man. That would probably be the best tight end Aaron had ever played with, to be real with you. And listen, look, he could flop, but I mean, you're talking about a legit tight end there, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Aaron's the GM over there too, so it's probably gonna happen. Aaron might run that card down himself on draft day.
Absolutely. Number 11, the Minnesota Vikings take Drake May. They stayed put, and Drake May fell to them in Minnesota. If I'm a Vikings fan, all you Packer fans, earmuff it for a second, okay? If I'm the Vikings, and I'm a Vikings fan, and I think that Drake May might fall to 11, I'm jumping for joy.
Right.
That could not play out any better for Minnesota. I don't see it happening, but Bucky put it in his mock for a reason, right? Number 12, Denver Broncos take Jared Verse, edge defender. Number 13, the Raiders take Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State. Number 14, the Saints take J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Bama. Number 15, the Colts take Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo. You just heard Paul talking about if somehow, some way Quinyon fell, probably not going to happen, right? Number 16, Seattle Seahawks take Fontana, the offensive lineman from Washington. Number 17, the Jaguars take cornerback Terrion Arnold from Bama. Number 18, the Bengals take Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, wide receiver. They just love their LSU wide receivers up there in Cincy, obviously. Sure. It's all the LSU boys getting back together up there in Cincinnati. Number 19, you got the Los Angeles Rams taking Byron Murphy. I think he's going to be a stud. Still haven't seen Jerzon Newton yet, which is interesting. Number 20, Pittsburgh Steelers taking tackle Amarius Mims. 21, the Dolphins.
Miami gets JPJ. Oh, no.
Jackson Powers Johnson to the Miami Dolphins at 21. Look at this one, hurts me. 22, the Eagles take Kool-Aid McKinstry. It feels like Jake Shavink's running this draft, right? Number 23, the Minnesota Vikings take Cooper.
Oh, man. So the Vikings are just crushing
this. Well, then they'd have their new returner, right, for the new kickoff rules. They'd be good to go.
This next one hurts even worse. What did Paul just say? Graham Barton? Number 24, one pick before the Packers. The Cowboys take Graham Barton, right? Then at 25, the Packers select Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State. I'll tell you this. Goody loves those combine numbers. He loves that athletic ability. This feels like if you were to look at the draft this year and go, which linebacker is built like Quay Walker, it's this dude, right? Because Quay is the same way.
But we already have a Quay. Why do we need another one?
I'm glad you asked that, Amelia.
Well, what did Paul say? We need some bodies in that linebacker.
No, I want the little 5'11 dude, the little 6-foot just missile. That's what I want.
So – Peyton
Pack
Wilson.
Your bags, man. Get up here.
So Peyton Wilson obviously was the pick, right? So let's do this. Let's hop over to the 33rd team draft board real quick, and let's see what they have to say about our boy, old Peyton Wilson. Actually, let's just scroll down and see where he's at on here, because I think he was a little lower, if I remember correctly. If you guys see him, say stop.
There he is, 39.
So they've got him as a weak side linebacker, the best weak side linebacker in the draft, which would suggest if the Packers do take him, Quay will be playing Mock. Mm-hmm. Peyton Wilson would be playing Will, right? They've got him with a 6.6 grade, okay? They've got him as the 39th best prospect. So you reach a little bit for need there, according to the 33rd team, right?
What a lucky year.
Yeah. Looks Wilson at 41, I'm good with. I completely agree, Coach. That's yeah. Coach Lynn says that in the chat. Yeah. That feels a little more where he needs to be taken, right? But, again, Bucky Brooks, he's saying it for a reason, right? I mean, there's got to be something that he's seen or heard to think that the Packers might pull the trigger there. I was going to try to pull up his scouting report. This is what it says. Wilson is an incredible athlete with outstanding play speed, pursuit, and tackle skills who can be a three-down player at the next level, but he struggles taking on linemen in the box and insufficient lateral strength may make it difficult to reach his full potential, okay? That was Nathan Cooper that did the full scouting report over at the 33rd team. Get you some NyQuil there, by the way, guys. We're going to pop out. 6'4", 233 pounds. His arm length is kind of short, 30.5 inches, right? Vertical jump, 34.5. 40-yard dash was at 4.43, just blazing for a linebacker. His strengths, pure athleticism, range in pursuit, and FBI, which is – short for football intelligence, okay? weakness, taking on and shedding bigger blockers, lateral strength, and extensive injury history. Those are the negatives, okay? So just wanted to kind of lay that out there. That's what Bucky Brooks said as far as his latest mock draft. Again, I'm sure they'll do a couple more before the draft hits. Just to kind of get a glance here of where I have Peyton Wilson to give you guys an idea on my board. I've got Junior Colson as the top linebacker at 50, right? Then I've got Peyton Wilson at 63. So that would be a mega reach according to my board, but it doesn't mean my board is right. You know, again, the 33rd team has him in the 39 spot, so not quite as bad of a reach. He did grade out as the sixth best. I believe he was sixth in 2023 as far as the PFF grade. And the consensus big board had him at 82. I've got him at 63. When I say at 82, they had him at 82 at the end of the year. So it kind of shows you how the combine has jumped him 20 spots, you know, as far as kind of in the
PFF has him ranked 26 on their board. There I mean, he was, what, 89.9 PFF grade last year? The sixth out of 776 linebackers. Like, I don't have a problem with the size, the speed. You know, he plays fast. I liked him when I watched him play college football. I just don't know if that's exactly what Hadley's going to be looking for. Obviously, right. We need a weak side, but do we need a tall weak side that can fly around, or do we need a thumper that can still fly around? You know,
I know the will, Tim, in this defense. Since Emilio kind of brought it up. Everything I've read in this Pete Carroll style 4-3 defense, you want your Will backer to be athletic. He needs to be the most athletic linebacker on the field. Your Mock needs to be able to read and recognize. He needs to be able to move laterally really well. He's got to have sideline to sideline. But that Will needs to be just an athletic monster. He needs to be able to close in on those cutback lanes, especially if they're running strong side run and looking to cut back with some of the zone looks. I could see Quay as the Will. I think I've seen that. Yeah, right here. Quay is our Coach Lynn says Quay is our Will moving forward. I want to agree with that, because when you talk about the Will being the most athletic linebacker, that kind of makes sense, right?
That's Quay right now.
Yeah. And if you look at that scouting report, right, what was one of the positives to a Peyton Wilson if we were to take him? FBI, right? Football intelligence. That's what you need in your mock. Maybe they'll get them in camp or get them in these early sessions as soon as the draft's over and go, okay, which one do we think is mentally more prepared to kind of play the mock, right?
You think if Quay goes to the Will, he'd still have the green dot?
I don't know, man. That's a great question. I thought about that before, Tim. I believe the mock always wears the green dot for the most part. And you guys seen when Quay started wearing the green dot last year, we were thinking, well, that's interesting. That's the first time I've seen someone that wasn't the mock wearing the green dot. But then all of a sudden, Quay started playing mock. We'll see, man. I would love Colson at the mock. There's no doubt about that. That would be absolutely awesome.
Yeah, and going back to Peyton, I mean, he was at 85 roughly February 3rd. You know, drafting, and now he spiked to what, 26, 25, 26, and then roughly around, you know, 30 now, which is crazy, man. It's they haven't played nothing, and all that changes. And
yeah, and some people are going, okay, well, what did he do in 2022? He was the 287th graded linebacker. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were to ask me, Clay, pick one of these linebackers, which one do you think is most likely to bust? Telling you, it'd be Peyton Wilson. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy over here, but the grade was low last year, right? The only reason he's risen on the boards is because he ran really fast in his underwear. If it hadn't been for that, you would think, okay, he's not, you know, not a stud. If he had just had like a flat 7 RAS and just been average, we would be talking about him potentially being a third-round pick. It was that athletic ability. Now, again, if you hit on him, you got a freak, right? There's no doubt about it. I like Junior Colson. That's my guy, man. And I can't get off of it. I think he is one of those dudes that just when you watch him play, he's got closing speed if you need it. But he's one of those. Here's a guy. I feel like he handles blockers a lot better than someone like a Peyton Wilson would. Let me. I know they're kind of high on him too. I don't want to cheat here, but let me see what they say. What's the scouting report on Junior Colson? I need to know this because they were big on him. Of course, they may have dropped him down now. There he is. Yeah, they got Junior Colson in the 35 spot. They'd be in the 33rd team. Let me read this off real quick. Do you guys, actually, let me just share it so you guys can see it.
What spot do they have him in?
What's that? 35 is what
the PFF has him 66th right now.
Yeah, there you go. So this is what it says about Junior Colson. They've got him as a middle linebacker, so they got him as a Mike. 6'2", 238 from Brentwood, Tennessee. Didn't even know that till yesterday. Did you know that, Amelia?
He's from not. That's wild.
Pretty wild. So he's 35th overall, number one Mike. He's got a 6.6 grade, which is a lower end starter, same as Peyton Wilson. Colson is a prototypical running cover linebacker with good athleticism, and he continues to round out his game as a run defender. He can develop into a high-level starting linebacker. Okay, and that scouting report was done by Jordan Edwards. His strengths are play speed, coverage instincts, third down ability. His weakness, block deconstruction. I don't even know what the hell that means. Pursuit angles and balance approaching ball carriers. Okay, so again, 6'2", 238. His arm length would suggest he could get off blocks a little bit easier than Peyton Wilson, obviously, with 32.5-inch arms. Yeah, you can see how they kind of graded out, which is really cool. You know, third down ability, 6, play speed, 6. And that's what I call playing with your eyes, right? And that's what I see with Tyler Newbin, me personally. When I turn on the tape for Tyler Newbin, he plays with his eyes. He's a half a step ahead every play. He's always playing with anticipation. Like my old coach used to say in baseball, be quick, but don't get in a hurry. That's how I feel about Newbin. I kind of get that same vibe there with Junior Colson as well. So there you go.
Speaking of Newbin, I just want to speak this into existence. A little shameless self-promotion. You guys like that draft board right there?
I love it.
Imagine that. Well, I'll just, those first three would be so sweet right there, guys. I just,
that D plus
next trying to visualize this, you know, manifest, as they say.
That D plus next to Junior Colson makes me want to punch the screen, Tim. I ain't gonna lie.
I know, right? Well,
because what, you reached 8 spots from their 66th ranked and they give you a D plus for it.
Right. Yeah, hilarious.
The dude also has like 600 more snaps playing linebacker than Peyton does. Peyton has like 1,300 snaps played. Junior's just shy of 2,000.
Yep.
And for those of you listening on the pod, what we're reading here is Tim's mock draft, which is Jackson Powers Johnson at 25, Tyler Newbin at 41, Junior Colson at 58, Max Melton at 88, DJ James at 91, tackle Christian Jones at 126, edge defender Braden McGregor at 169, halfback Frank Gore Jr. from Southern Miss at 202, Johnny Dixon, cornerback from Penn State at 219, Kenny Logan Jr. From Kansas, safety at 245, and then Jordan McGee at 255 from Temple. So
I'm going to let Jacob tell you how I feel about this mock draft.
That is a possum in a dumpster.
I love how his voice broke up. I forgot what he was going to say. I happy as a possum in a dumpster.
He was worried to say it.
Love it, love it, love it.
I love it, man. I hope I get, like, you know, one or two of these picks. That would be great, right? You know, like each of us, all these mocks that we've done, right? You know, we each get a couple of our picks on there.
Yeah.
Make us feel like we're GMs, you know?
Yeah, make us feel like we're not the losers that we actually are, right? Yeah, bro, so. You guys got anything else before we wrap up here?
Hit the like button.
Yeah, hit that like button.
Like button, man. Yeah. Helps the algorithm help us a little.
Definitely. What about you, Emilio?
Nothing. I don't know. The only other thing that I was thinking about, what Paul was saying when I was asking him on the D-line, was, dude, imagine Halfley just rotating them really, like, rotating them a lot, keeping them extra fresh, like 110% every player out there. If you're at 95, get out. I want a sub. Right. Like, could you imagine that kind of a front four? That would be absolutely wild.
Yeah, no doubt, man. All right, let's get out of here, man. Probably won't be a show tomorrow. It's usually date night, but if something falls through, I know we got to get ready for Easter. We're going to have like 60 people here at the house on Sunday or something.
Nice.
I'm going to be out there smoking ribs all day. And what a life we live, complaining about hanging out by the smoke or having a daddy soda, smoking some ribs, right? It's just horrible, horrible here in this.
You got to do a good Friday date night, though, right?
Hi, I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me.
I think we probably do. So just again, want to give a quick shout out to the members of the Patreon group, the PTA Posse. Appreciate y'all jumping over there. The newest members here, we got Andre Hamilton, Dane Stromstad. We've got Mark Zambito, Do You Rant, Drew Domalik, and Jabin Tebow. Appreciate y'all supporting the channel. And again, we're going to make sure that everyone who is a Patreon member, we put you into the drawing for that autographed Paul Hornung jersey we're going to give away during round one of the draft. We're less than a month away. Absolutely fired up about that. So, like I said, thank y'all so much for supporting the channel. This is another reminder. I feel like we can't say it enough. If you were subscribed to the YouTube channel as a member of the PTA Posse on there, just go ahead and cancel that. We're going to shift everything over to Patreon. We don't want you to get hit with that charge if for some reason the channel does come back up active as far as monetization, because they, at this point, it's just kind of out of our hands. So I just, that's the last thing I want, is for you guys to get hit with that, whatever it is, $2.99 charge, whatever. And, you know, it be something that we're not going to move forward with. So we'll just shift it over to Patreon and remove the confusion. So appreciate everybody. I know everybody's reached out and asked how they can support. Sorry, the super chats aren't there anymore. That's okay, though. It saves y'all some money, right? So there you go. Look at the positive. But we always appreciate everybody's help. I know Cody. Cody's been the one trumping here. Cody, you got to comment down in the comments too, man. These guys, it's, I don't know if you guys see him. He's going to bat for us, and it's okay, Cody. We got it handled, buddy. We appreciate the support for sure, though. So, all right, we're out of here. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. And as always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world, and go Pack Up.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play on our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here. Try to run this play in the alley.